Lively Stone's Meditations for Sunday, 5th March 2023. Intolerance, reading from Matthew 24, 9-13. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. When we heard recently that the First Minister of Scotland was resigning, many, I am sure, gave the matter only a casual glance. There might be disappointment or pleasure, depending on your politics. But what has happened is that, with the reaction to a strongly Christian candidate putting her name forward for the First Minister role, our Lord has highlighted for all Christians precisely where present-day attitudes are when it comes to faith, and many, it seems, now positively discriminate against Christian views. Peter Horriban of LL Ministries said this in his blog post, which you may find illuminating. Hated? You will be hated by all nations because of me, Matthew 24, 9. In the end times, we will need to get used to the fact that Jesus was right. Believers who remain faithful to Jesus and the Word of God will be under constant attack from the liberal wokery that is now prevalent across society, and which it is so easy for the church to bow down to, in an attempt, no doubt, to make itself acceptable to an unbelieving world. Sadly, compromising on truth only makes the church less noticeable and less relevant, as the borderlines between faith and apostasy become ever more blurred. This past week, the leader of the Scottish National Party, the SNP, stood down as the First Minister of Scotland. Immediately, the race for a successor began, and one of the leading contenders is Kate Forbes, a young, very committed, born-again believer. A remarkable article in the London Daily Telegraph asked some telling questions. Is she too Christian to lead a political party? Does her faith debar her from public office? It's dangerous now to hold old-fashioned views on marriage, gender and abortion. A spokesman for the SNP is quoted as saying, there will be a massive campaign against her, particularly by the woke crowd, because of her religious beliefs. Without realising it, the Telegraph writers were simply recognising that what Jesus said all those years ago is coming true. The world hates truth, and while people will patronise Jesus by saying he was a good man with teaching worth hearing and following, they will not tolerate any intrusion of biblical truth into the affairs of the world that has not only lost its moral compass, but in which most people seem to have no desire to find it again. The article also asked another telling question. If it's okay to have a devout Hindu as a Prime Minister of England, why wouldn't it be okay to have a devout Christian as the First Minister of Scotland? The difference is simple. Real Christian faith is not a religion with a set of steps to appease God, but a relationship in which the price of having a relationship with him has already been paid by Jesus on the cross. Through ownership of our sin and repentance, we receive new life and have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to overcome it. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. The plumb line of truth which hangs from the cross is offensive to those whose lifestyle is challenged by the central tenets of the Christian faith. Christian truth is not just a system of beliefs, only of relevant to an inner circle of believers, and which don't have any significance for everyone else. the teachings of God's word are applicable to the whole world, believers and unbelievers alike. So when a Christian says what they believe, and those beliefs cut across the liberal secularism of society, there is an instant reaction, prompted by the God of this world, which, in recent years, has cost people their jobs, caused many believers to be dragged through the courts just because they hold to biblical truth without compromising what they believe. Our post-Christian so-called liberal society breeds hostile intolerance. I suggest that, whatever our political thinking may be, we should be praying for Kate Forbes. In an interview to the BBC, she said, "I believe in the person of Jesus Christ. I believe that he died for me, he saved me, and that my calling is to serve and to love him and to serve and love my neighbours." Wow. Since when have we ever heard a politician in the UK speak such truth to the media? Or, even more significantly, since when have we ever heard the national leaders of our churches, certainly in Britain, share such a clear testimony with the media and the world? All the nations of the Western world, the nations who in recent centuries have been the preservers of Christian truth in their governance of the people, are falling like dominoes into a godless hole. The end of the age is closing in. Jesus told us to rejoice and keep watch with prayers that focus on the signs of the times and on those who are prepared to be a light shining in the darkness, so that the light will not be put out by the enemies of truth, but will shine ever brighter in a darkening world. As the darkness gets darker, so the light of Jesus will shine brighter. If he is lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. Another political commentator was even brave enough to say that it would be a dark day for the world if a Christian believer was debarred from office simply because of their faith. Yes, indeed. Written by Peter Horobin of LL Ministries. Meditate on these things. Psalm 25, verses 18 to 20. Look on my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. And finally, prayer requires honesty. It is rarely the big compellings of God that get hold of us in our prayers. Instead, we tell God what he should do. We tell him that men are being lost and that he ought to save them. This is a terrific charge against God. It means that he might be asleep. Prayer with us often becomes merely a way of patronizing God. From The Psychology of Redemption by Oswald Chambers.